It is ironic for neuroscientists to provide a forum for, and with it, implicit endorsement of a religious leader whose legitimacy relies on reincarnation, a doctrine against the very foundation of neuroscience. The present Dalai Lama explicitly claims the separation of mind and body, which is essential to the recognition of the Dalai Lama as both a religious and a political leader. Now that was a revealing statement, to say the least. Neuroscience has no evidence to offer on the Tibetan Buddhist doctrine of reincarnation, any more than it has evidence to offer on the Christian doctrine of incarnation. A scientific discipline can offer evidence on the subjects it can actually research. The neural states associated with mystical consciousness, for example, can be researched. Hence the growing interest in the area. And the question of the relationship between the mind and the brain is, to put it mildly, hardly settled. In any event, the controversy soon reached mainstream science media. The eminent science journal Nature weighed in on the Dalai Lama's side, observing that he was invited because he has tried for many years to encourage empirical research into the claims he makes for the value of meditation. The journal suggested that the protesters be patient and raise their concerns at the post-lecture forum. To its credit, the Society for Neuroscience did not back down. The Dalai Lama gave his scheduled address. Indeed, he stressed, "I am speaking of what I call secular ethics that embrace the key ethical principles such as compassion, tolerance, a sense of caring, consideration of others, and the responsible use of knowledge and power, principles that transcend the barriers between religious believers and non-believers, and followers of this religion or that religion." In the end, we are left asking, what's so frightening about meditation anyway? Why can't science-based questions about meditation be answered in the normal way, using conventional scientific tools? The Dalai Lama's offer of collaboration is an excellent research opportunity. A population of monks or contemplatives willing to permit neuroscientists to study their meditative states is not easy to find and retain. It is hardly surprising, on the face of it, that the society would wish to recognize the Lama's support. Critics of research into meditation often raise legitimate issues, but one senses a distinct underlying discomfort that the area is studied at all. For example, neuroscientist Richard Davidson, who helped arrange the Dalai Lama's talk, co-authored recently published research that suggests that the neural networks of trained meditators are better coordinated than those of untrained persons.